This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have multiple insurance needs. They handle them all. Not only make sure you're fully insured, but save you money. Could be bundles where they're allowed to go across state lines. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Always pleased to be joined by Tim Kirchen from ESPN. Tim, welcome back.
Nice to be back, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you are well.
Everything is great. I'm going to the All-Star game on Sunday. Can't get much better than that.
Doesn't get better than that. And Paul Skeens is not only going to the All-Star game, he's going to be the starter this after the 7 no-hit innings at Milwaukee. When you look at the choice of Skeens and what it means for the game just 1 year after he was the first overall pick, what does that mean for the sport?
Well, it's a great thing for the sport because he's going to be the face of pitching in baseball for the next several years. And I'm not sure, maybe other than Steven Strasburg, the last time we saw anyone burst onto the scene quite like this. But he's been even better than Strasburg. He's basically been better than anyone. I mean, if you look at his first 11 starts, he has 89 strikeouts.
Yep.
And a sub-2 ERA. No pitcher in the history of baseball has ever had an ERA under 2 with that many strikeouts in his first 11 starts. He has been unbelievably good. And the performance that he had yesterday was just enough for Torrey Lovello to say, all right, this is obvious. But more than just, he deserves to start the All-Star game based on merit. But
yes,
when you're based on trying to sell the game, which is what the All-Star game is all about, it's a celebration of the sport, then he has to start the game because he's the one pitcher that you want to watch. If he's pitching today, he's the one pitcher you have to watch. And how much more can baseball ask than having the bottom of the first inning in Texas started by Paul Skeens and going up against, say, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge. That's perfect. And right, that's why he should be starting the All-Star game.
To me, this is when you're talking about young pitchers. Young, you mentioned Strasburg, but even going further back, Mark Fidrich, right, comes out and it kind of captures everybody's imagination. Fernando Valenzuela. To me, this is a lot like that, where this guy is captured the imagination, and now really for the first time, I know there are highlights and so forth, but this is really the first time the entire nation gets to see this.
Right, and that's exactly why he should start the All-Star game. Now, I was covering baseball when Valenzuela came on the scene, and his first 10 starts were just ridiculous because he, yep, like completed all of them and threw a bunch of shutouts, I think 6 in his first 10 starts. It was just amazing. And he captured, you know, Southern California, not to mention all of Mexico, too. But Paul Skeens is, you know, being the number one pick in the draft, absolutely sailing through the minor leagues like he did in a short stint. And now he's starting the All-Star game. This is just exactly what baseball could want. Because even though I get every game on TV at my house, like others who have the MLB package, there are a lot of people who have never seen him pitch. And when they see a 6'6", 250-pound guy who throws 102 miles an hour, mm-hmm, with an elite breaking ball and elite command and one of the great competitors you'll ever see, and he's 22 years old, this is exactly what baseball wants and needs.
So that goes into another side story, and the fact is the Major League Baseball draft will be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Sunday will be with round one. Now, we all know it's when the fifth round pick in the NFL, and I saw Hunter Norzad the other day, who's going to the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to make the team. Right? NBA first round picks, they're all going to play. But in Major League Baseball, no matter if you're picked in the first round, there's a good chance you're in the minors for a while, except this guy was barely in the minors. Is it a nice side story that it shows that a guy in a year can do this?
Yeah, I think it just speaks to where college baseball is today. It's a different game than it was, say, 20 years ago. And with the portal and everything else, I had Ben McDonald telling me the other day there are pitchers in college right now who are 24 years old who are using the system to get more college years so they can be more ready when pro ball calls. So these guys who are getting to the big leagues are getting there sooner than ever. They're bigger, stronger, faster than ever. And it's great for the game that a guy who pitched in college last year is in the big league starting the All-Star game the next year. And his college coach told us in spring training, he said he could have pitched in the big leagues last year as a senior in college. That's how far along Paul Skeens was. As you know, Steve, what really separates him from so many young pitchers is he tells his manager, his coach, whatever, I'm not coming out of the game until the game's over. That's his mindset before every start. And you got to love that. Even though they took him out in the seventh inning of a no-hitter.
He wasn't happy about it. But it's also interesting, too, that he was a catcher at Air Force. That's the part that strikes me about it. And then, you know, and I know they encouraged him, hey, you've got to go higher up as a pitcher. You've got to be able to do that. But that's interesting. That's where he started.
Right. And I just love that he has a catcher's mentality because catchers are a different breed. Trust me, I've seen a million of them. Yep. And the fact that he went from catcher to pitcher, the fact that he pitched, played at the Air Force Academy, and I was told once that, you know, as an underclassman, a couple of guys on the team were not really paying attention during the national anthem, standing on the line, and he told them, that's not how we do it here. And he showed them the respect that you need to show. That's the born leader that this kid is, also way, way beyond his years as far as poise and everything else.
And again, yeah, I've run into that, obviously, along the way with certain guys that have ended up being catchers and then converted to being pitchers. You know, I just saw David Carpenter, in fact, last week, who pitched with the Braves, the Astros, and the Cardinals for a period of time. He started as a catcher here in State College. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys that have done that during the course of their career. A lot of injuries in the first half. How concerning has that been across the league?
It's of great concern, and it should be for all of the game. Steve, you know that the industry has encouraged our pitchers to throw as hard as you can on every pitch. Throw it to get it to 100 if you can. And then when you throw your breaking ball, we want you to spin it at a rate that nobody else can spin it. And this is how our pitchers are now operating. And the industry has told them, if you want to get to the big leagues and stay in the big leagues, you have to strike people out, you have to miss bats, and that's mostly what our pitchers are thinking about today. So you put all that together with all sorts of other factors, and that's why there have been so many injuries in the game, especially to our pitchers. And to fix this, it's going to take a long time. We're going to have to go to our little league kids and tell them, you don't have to throw harder than everyone else. You don't have to throw a breaking ball at age 11 and spin it like nobody else. You can put a ball in play and let your defense do the work. That's what we have to do, I believe, in order to get back to keeping our players a little healthier.
It's interesting because the Philly starters are now logging more innings this season, to the point where Rob Thompson has to make decisions about the bullpen to get them a little more work. Have you talked to anybody in the Phillies organization? Are they doing something a little different at the major leagues between starts with their guys, or is their approach with the Phillies starters are a little bit different than others, or is it just worked out for these guys?
Well, first off, they're all really good. That's why their innings levels are up, because they're good enough to pitch deep into games. They also have a president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, who is an old school guy and believes it's okay to challenge a starting pitcher to go 7, 8, and even 9 innings once in a while. They also have a loaded bullpen there, but instead of overusing that bullpen, they have it all lined up, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. So they're in a really good spot there. But I really believe it's a case where it's a mindset now. You guys are going to pitch deep into this game, and if you can't, we got people behind you. But they're also really smart about it. I mean, Rob Thompson told us the other day, I did the Dodgers-Philly game the other night, that it's possible they'll go to a 6-man rotation, at some point this year when the games really pile up. And Zach Wheeler is not expected to start on Sunday before the All-Star break, because he had a bit of a back issue, and there's no reason to push him if they don't have to. That's what the Phillies are doing, in part because they're really good and have a big lead, but they're also intent on having their guys as healthy as they can be when October comes.
All right, so they have the best record in baseball. The best record in the American League and the second best record happen to be the Cleveland Guardians. You've liked this team from day one. After watching a body of work to this point where they're right about 95, 96 games with, about 66 to go, what makes the Guardians, in your opinion, really good and a team that, should they get to the postseason, which they're on track to do, would be dangerous for somebody?
Yeah, their offense is way better, Steven, than I thought it was going to be. They've outscored their opponents by 87 runs this year. They're fourth in the league in runs scored. And even though they hit the ball out of the ballpark, they don't do it at the rate that some other teams do. They put the ball in play. They run. They take the extra base. They play more of an old-school style of game where let's put it in play and make the other team make a defensive play. Steven Kwan starts all of that at the top of the order. He's hitting 360, struck out 23 times all year, and everyone else just falls into place after that. So offensively, I did not see them being this good. Their starting pitching is stretched right now with injuries and everything else, but they also have a very good defense and a great bullpen. Manuel Clase, their closer, has a 0.83 ERA. They are a really good team, way better than I thought they were going to be, and this team could be very dangerous in October, especially if they go get another starting pitcher before then at the trade deadline.
I mean, Jose Ramirez is putting up numbers I would expect him to put up. I mean, he's, 23 homers, 77 knocked in. How much has it helped him, though, that Josh Naylor has been able to hit 22 home runs?
Yeah, Josh Naylor has 70 RBIs, and he's the biggest reason, David Fry also, that this team has taken off is he keeps getting better every single day, and that's part of it. And so when you can put together, when Ramirez has some help in the lineup, which he does right now, in fact, he has plenty of help right now, that really speaks to it. And Stephen Vogt has done a fabulous job as the manager of that team. I'm not surprised at all. I wrote a huge story about him in spring training, and I had people telling me everybody who played with Stephen Vogt knew he would not only be a manager one day, he'd be a really good manager one day. And right now, he's the American League Manager of the Year.
162 games, you're going to hit ruts along the way. Why are the Yankees in a rut?
Well, their starting pitching, which was so sensational for 2 months, has hit the skids. Carlos Rodon hasn't been close to the same pitcher the last month as he was the first two. Luis Gil, who was unhittable for 2 months, is just a rookie, and he has struggled also. Gerrit Cole isn't all the way back, but I expect him to be. Plus, their offense, which was so, so good, has really struggled, other than Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. They're not getting much production out of third or second right now or behind the plate. Giancarlo Stanton is hurt. I fully expect the Yankees to turn this around, but they've lost 18 out of 25. They have the worst record in baseball since June 13th. And again, I didn't see that coming. But they're going to have to go get a pitcher at the trade deadline if they're going to do something in October.
I know you love your job. I know it's work along the way. But what do you enjoy about the All-Star game as somebody who covers it and loves the game so much?
Yeah, I've covered everyone since 81. And what I love the most, I love the first-time All-Stars who've never been there before. It's the look on their face when they walk into the clubhouse for the first time. It's the look on their face when they are standing on the field with guys that they've played against, guys that they've admired for so long. And a million years ago, Johnny Bench told me that at the 68 All-Star game, Willie Mays came up to him. It's Johnny's first All-Star game, and he whispered in his ear, "You should be starting the All-Star game." And here's Johnny Bench, who can't even believe he's at the All-Star game, and now the greatest player he's ever seen comes up and whispers to him and says, "You should be starting." That was affirmation for Johnny Bench, that not only did he belong in the All-Star game, but he really belonged because Willie Mays told him that. Those are my favorite stories, the guys who were there for the first time.
If I recall, that would have been the Astrodome. Willie Mays hit leadoff and scored the game's only run in the first inning. Did I do okay?
Yeah, Willie was, Walter Alston was the manager a bunch of those years, and he used to tell Willie, "You know these guys better than I do. You can fill out the lineup card." So Willie told me that he made out the lineup card for the National League team multiple times, and a couple times he just said, "Well, I'll hit leadoff, Clemente will get me over, and Hank Aaron will get me in." And that's what we saw, 1-2-3 in the All-Star game.
Well, the National League won how many in a row, so he must have done a great job of picking the lineup.
he did a fabulous job, that is for sure.
Tim, absolute pleasure. Enjoy the All-Star game, and as always, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Tim Kirchen, ESPN, joining us on the show today as we talk a lot about Major League Baseball. It's the Skeens thing is, it goes back to what I was talking about last week, that it's good for the game. I mean, I don't mean the All-Star game. I mean the sport that he's starting, because he's a fresh face. He's dynamic. Who knows about the longevity of his career? We don't know. But in this moment, when the sport needs a Paul Skeens to do what he's doing, and you start him in the All-Star game, man and moment have met. And he's exactly right. First inning, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. If you're a sports fan, not just a baseball fan, you're a sports fan, you want to see that first inning because you want to see those matchups. That's what the All-Star game is about, seeing matchups that you normally would not see. And how does he do?
I think that's the one thing that Interleague has kind of taken away from us, is kind of the specialness of the All-Star game. And, you didn't get a chance, especially when you were younger, when I was a kid, you didn't get a chance to see the National League versus the American League unless it was the All-Star game or the World Series.
And that's where this comes into play, because Skeens has never faced Gunnar Henderson.
Yes.
He's never faced Juan Soto, and he's never faced Aaron Judge, because he hasn't pitched against the Orioles or the Yankees. So that's going to make that, that'll bring back that old-time feel of, thinking back to when Pedro Martinez started and the All-Stars he struck out. Now, none of us were alive when Carl Hubbell struck out 5 Hall of Famers. But it's those kind of moments that you sit back and go, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm glad I got to watch that. I think we're going to get that on Tuesday night with him starting. And Matt's going to be a wreck. A wreck when Soto and Judge come to the plate. And if Skeen strikes them out, I mean, I wouldn't want to be those kids. I mean, I really wouldn't. I mean, why is Daddy yelling? We didn't do anything wrong. We picked up most of the toys. Why is Daddy yelling? It's an exhibition game.
He can take solace in the fact that, you know, like Garrett Cole, Paul Skeens will probably be in the Yankees in 5 years, too.
You just made every Pirate fan upset. They've been enjoying the moment until you made that comment. Now the balloon burst. Thanks. Just when we have people happy and excited.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, just 3.5 weeks away at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Get your team involved ASAP. We can't wait to see you out there on Wednesday, August 7th, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet. We head into the weekend. And that means stocking up. It's going to be another hot one. It's July. Last I checked, you get hot weather in July. I don't even have to be the staff meteorologist to tell you that one. Yeah. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle Bar, led by my two personal favorites, the Barrels and the Dills. You may have a favorite, but those are my two. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I did try to contact the king. Have not received back a text from him. I know you haven't been able to get a hold of me either, right?
I'm getting a complex. I mean, I already have one, but
yeah, it's one of those days. It's one of those days. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm. Been trying to get a hold of them. Yeah. Something's going on.
That's that darn work.
You know, I hate when it gets in the way. At least when we're working, we're having fun.
Exactly.
Well, that is until the until it's a technical glitch. Yeah. All of a sudden, nowhere, I'm not having any fun anymore. Poor Todd. I mean, you've had to learn all of this. You've done a phenomenal job. You are exponentially way better than I ever would have been at it.
Yeah, I think it helped a little bit that I did do this a little bit. When you do the play-by-play for the football, you kind of have to do everything like that yourself, too. So that helped a little bit. But it's been, God, I don't think I've done Lewisburg play-by-play in 10 years, so it wasn't like it was fresh.
It wasn't fresh. It's not fresh, I'm telling you. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. So here we are heading into the weekend. How about this part, that vague court proceeding where they said maybe athletes can be employees? It's one of those, you want to talk about a gray ruling. Mercy me, it was gray. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but it was, I looked at it and thought, uh-oh, what does this mean? And then I read it, and I still didn't know what it meant. So here's what the story is on that. Court rules college athletes could be employees. They seek a test to decide whether or not they're employees. Okay.
Could you pass the test?
Gee, I hope so, because allegedly I'm an employee. Let's be honest. I don't go out there and do anything athletically that helps the cause, that's for sure. Now, there's one area where when you read this, I get a little worried about whether or not I am an employee, because it talks about whether you're doing it for fun or not. I'm like, well, no offense, I'm actually having a good time. Oh, goodness. Wow. So I don't know. That's where the gray area comes in. And I don't know. I've looked at it. It says the court, in the latest challenge to the NCAA's long-held notion of amateurism, said a test should be developed to differentiate between students who play college sports for fun and those whose effort crosses the legal line into work. Okay.
That's just vague enough to cause issues.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I can't. I mean, are they working? Yeah. Are they having fun doing it? Yeah. But I mean, but I don't. What's the test? He said, with professional athletes as the clearest indicators, playing sports can certainly constitute compensable work, said District Judge Felipe Restrepo. Ultimately, the touchstone remains whether the cumulative circumstances of the relationship between the athlete and college or NCAA reveal an economic reality that is that of an employee-employer. A colleague, in a concurring opinion, questioned the difficulty, though, of such of a process, noting that nearly 200 students compete on nearly 6,700 Division I teams. The NCAA had hoped to have the case dismissed, but will instead go back to the trial judge for fact-finding, and they'll need fact-finding on this. Look, I could see, for example, with all due respect, Divisions II and III, in a lot of ways. Aren't you doing that for fun? I mean, it's work, but right? I mean, you're not there on scholarships.
My thought is when you were talking about it, is could they rule, you know, it could almost go down individually, couldn't it? They could rule one player views it as work and another views it as fun.
Yeah, but when money's involved, they're all going to view it as work.
Well, that's true, but...
Division I athletes and former athletes behind the suit in Philadelphia are seeking more modest hourly wages similar to those earned by their peers in work-study programs. But if each school is doling out $22 million to athletes starting next year, and look, we know where a higher percentage of money's going to go, but I've talked to Pat Kraft about it. He wants to figure out a way where everybody gets at least something out of it. Right? Something. I mean, that's one of his goals. He's hoping to get, he's got 833 athletes here. He's hoping that he can figure out a way for everybody to get something. That doesn't mean something's a lot, but I know that's what he wants to do. And Title IX is going to play a role also in what he does with distribution. Lawyer Paul McDonald, representing the plaintiffs, had suggested that athletes could make $2,000 per month or $10,000 per year for participating in NCAA sports. He said many students need the money for everyday expenses. All right. Now, at Penn State, at the moment, you have cost of attendance. Now, in all likelihood, under the new model starting in the fall of next year, that would go away. It would just be rolled into what you're doing with the $22 million. But right now, I want to say Penn State's athletes are getting somewhere about $4,000 to $5,000 a year in cost of attendance, so that's right in the middle of this. Okay? This notion that college athletes cannot be both students and employees is just not accurate when you have student employees on campuses, McDonald said. It's just beyond belief the idea that the athletes would not meet the same criteria as employees. So a district judge refused to throw the case out, prompting the Indianapolis-based NCAA to ask the appeals court to stop it from going to trial. Defendants include the NCAA and member schools including Duke, Villanova, and Oregon. See, that's where the Philadelphia part comes in, Villanova. The NCAA said it is expanding core benefits for athletes, which is true. It's been mandated by the courts. From health care to career preparation, and wants to help schools steer more direct financial benefits to their athletes, which they're going to. They have to. The court says they have to. However, it noted what it called student concerns that the employment model could harm their experiences and needlessly cost countless student athletes opportunities in women's sports, Olympic sports, and sports at the HBCU and Division II and III levels. Now, that's not a threat. That is a realistic, let's go back to the words I used earlier in the show when I was talking about private equity. I used unintended consequences. Okay? Something on the surface may seem great, but what are the unintended consequences? And I'm telling you, the more you keep pulling money away from the university itself and into the pocket of the student athlete. And I'm not saying they don't deserve to get money. I'm fine with them getting money. But it also has to be done within the realm of some sort of budget, too. And so the $22 million to me is your budget. Well, there's only so much to go around. What ends up then going into the area of fun? A.K.A. club sports. That's the unintended consequence. So, let's take something like realignment. And UCLA is the case I brought up many times, or $104 million in debt. by going to the Big Ten, and I'd have to pull Martin Jarmond aside and ask him. Were you close to possibly cutting some sports to make the budget work before the Big Ten came up? Now, he may tell me no, or he might privately tell me yes, because when you're $104 million in debt, you have to figure out more ways of getting more money, and sometimes one of the ways to get things in line is to cut some things. Well, if you keep doing stuff like this, on the surface it sounds great, but do you end up costing some students their sport, where now they're a club sport instead of a Division I varsity sport, because you need to make ends meet, because you've been mandated by courts to come up with money for a wide variety of areas? And that's something that at least needs to be thought through, because I don't want to see anybody lose their opportunity. There's more pressure than ever on athletic directors with the current climate to figure out various ways of getting cash. And again, some are better than others. And some may seem like the answer. Private equity is certainly one that people are talking about. But so much comes with strings attached. Well, what are the strings, and can you manage the strings on your end? And not just the dollar sign of it. Just a thought. All right, we'll take a break this half hour, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Dave Moyer for the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store in Sunbury.
Hi, this is Steve Jones. Join me on Wednesday, August 7th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the 33rd annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Get your four-person scramble team together to support the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. There are loads of prizes, including hole-in-one, closest to the flag, longest drive, and more. Call 570-556-4191 to get registered, and then join me and Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation Wednesday, August 7th at the 33rd annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And final half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Todd, this is how out of touch the NCAA is, or how desperate they have been to keep the model the way it's been. The NCAA, at its convention, compared the athletes to students who perform in theater groups, orchestras, and other campus activities without pay.
Oh, it's almost quaint at this point.
I mean, you sit there and go, okay, well, so to go see the orchestra play, which they're outstanding, I'm sure, the theater group, which is outstanding, I'm sure, but are you paying a seat license, a parking fee, after you make a parking donation, and then you pay for your tickets? And I mean, I'm sorry. One's big business, and the other one is an activity that's really great to see.
The preseason orchestra scrimmage brings a lot of people, doesn't it?
It's really special, especially in the battle of the bands. But you have seat licenses. Then you can buy the tickets, donating for parking. Then you buy the parking that, you know. That doesn't happen for other student activities. Now, if you park in the wrong spot on campus, they may tow you. But, I mean, well, have a great week. Enjoy. I guess your daughter has camp, right?
Yep, basketball camp.
Very nice. Enjoy it.
Hey, you enjoy the beach, man.
Back a week from Monday.